This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 29th of July 2022. Hello and welcome to the Winterton District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 29th of July. Your readers today are Nikki Baring.
Hello.
Norma York.
Hello.
And Andrew Parkinson.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Keith Vincent. Now, the main headlines this week: anger as vital bus services face cuts, Hampshire mudlarker talks treasure hunting, and first female head for Winchester College. So, Nikki, may we have the story behind the first headline, please?
Which was anger as vital bus services face cuts. Hampshire residents have bemoaned the county's poor bus network as staff shortages and cuts continue to blight passengers relying on public transport. Residents in Hampshire have been left frustrated by scaled-back services over the past few months, with Stagecoach blaming sickness and the lasting effects of the pandemic for the issues. People have reported being stuck at bus stops for long hours, no, for hours on end, after last-minute schedule alterations have scuppered their travel plans. Others have said prices are simply too high as the pinch of the cost of living crisis begins to take effect. A spokesperson for Stagecoach said, "As with many industries across the country, we are continuing to face a short-term staffing situation that is out of our control due to the shortage of professional drivers. As a result, this is having an impact on our bus services. Our team are working incredibly hard, given the current circumstances, to ensure the vast majority of local services are running. We are also taking proactive steps to alleviate the situation by recruiting new drivers and are focused on getting our new team members through our training programmes and on the road as soon as we can." Elsewhere in Hampshire, Zella Bus, which serves destinations across Basingstoke, Eastleigh and Southampton, has announced radical changes across its network following consultation with the County Council. A host of routes which connect areas such as Chandler's Ford, Bishop's Waltham and Eastleigh are due for the chop in early September. The company said the changes are in response to rising costs such as fuel and patronage not returning to pre-pandemic levels. A spokesperson added, "We do not remove bus services lightly and look at all potential solutions such as reduction of frequencies, thus reducing number of buses required and mileage. With increasing costs and less passengers travelling, we have to make the changes in order for the company to be sustainable." The County Council recently sought residents' and stakeholders' views on proposed changes to supported passenger transport services and the concessionary travel scheme in Hampshire. It could see fees introduced, changes to services and cuts to back office functions. The authority said the proposals are being made in the light of the continued significant pressures on local authority budgets. The consultation is now closed, and civic chiefs are expected to publish their findings later in the year. However, the move has not been popular, especially among pensioners who fear their bus passes may be cut or they will be forced to pay at a time when they are facing a rising cost of living. Chris O'Neill, chair of Hampshire Unison Retired Members Section, said, "In the name of the social evil that is austerity, we are offered yet another initiative by HCC, adding to cutbacks already totalling £500,000. They claim that they are conducting a consultation for changes to bus passes and concessionary travel. This is disingenuous. The consultative document, consisting of 22 pages, offers a number of changes, all of which are detrimental to current concessionary travel for, amongst others, the disabled, elderly and isolated. It makes clear that if their proposals are rejected, others will be implemented. As come what may, reductions to the budget will be made."
And the next item is a follow-up to that. It's bus users react to proposed changes to passes and cuts. People waiting for buses said they were feeling frustrated and angry at the proposed changes and at the level of service they're receiving. For many people, bus services provide a vital link between the city centre and surrounding areas. These proposed changes come at a time when bus services are being forced to re-evaluate routes after they've come under pressure from a lack of drivers and rising operating costs. Alexander Ian Morgan, 78, who gets the 69 bus, said, "Don't get me started on the buses. On Saturday, I was waiting for the 9:43 bus from Bishop's Waltham to Winchester so I could do my weekly shopping, and it just never turned up. Then I waited for the 10:43, and that never turned up, and finally a bus turned up at 11:43, so 2 hours later than expected. I use my bus pass all the time, so I'd really struggle without it. I don't understand why we're only able to use our bus passes Monday to Friday from 9:30, but in Southampton they're able to use it from 9 a.m. during the week." Linda Booth, 74, takes the number 46 bus from Hilton Chandler's Ford and said, "The service has been cut down and it's quite limiting, and we're constantly worried they may cut back further. My bus route has been cut back so that it only goes to Simmons in the morning and doesn't go to the hospital. So that means people who can't drive have no way of getting to Winchester Hospital early in the morning for their appointments." Sheila Shaw, 71, from Littleton, who takes the number 7 bus, said, "I wish there was a board that said when the buses are coming in Littleton, and there's also lack of evening buses, so we just sit here like pumpkins waiting for one to come along." Margaret and Bob House, 84 and 83, said, "We'd have no way of knowing if our bus was cancelled or not. It's extremely annoying when a bus just doesn't turn up." Councillor Edward Heron, Executive Lead Member for Transport, said, "I'd like to reassure service users, especially, that no decisions have been made. We will endeavour to minimise the impact on passengers from any changes that may be agreed at a later date. However, it is essential that we find ways to do things differently and with reduced costs."
Hampshire's mudlarker talks treasure hunting. A mudlarker has told the treasures she has found at the bottom of Hampshire rivers, which even include a Stone Age blade and an 18-carat gold watch. Jane Eastman from Whitchurch has been mudlarking, scavenging in rivers for items of value, for about 5 years. Locally, Jane has had to adapt the tradition, getting in the river in her waders and using a washing-up bowl with a clear perspex bottom to it to discover the river's lost treasures. Jane said, "The surface of the water, the reflection and the movement of the water blurs everything. The water can be less than knee-deep and will still be hard to see what's on the bed if the water is flowing. But as soon as you put that bucket there, you can get a good view, and I just have a little scoop and see what's there. It's incredible what's been thrown in and how even our pristine rivers have been used as dumps since the Roman times." As a Roman area, Jane has been able to find 2,000-year-old Roman items in Whitchurch, such as beads and pottery. The mother of two, a jeweller by trade, but has found her occupation has taken a backseat to this newfound passion. Reflecting on how it all began, Jane continued, "I did a bit of bottle digging when I was younger, but I didn't know it was a thing. I remembered finding a Victorian jam jar sticking out of a bank on a country lane and hooking it out. Accidentally happening upon an old Victorian bottle dump is where this sort of interest began. I was turned off history when I studied it at A-level, but now I'm completely obsessed. I found a First World War Brodie helmet, refurbished for the Second World War. I imagine that at the end of the war, somebody chucked it in and wanted to say goodbye to the whole experience, and you can only imagine what they went through. Some of the jeweller's favourite finds include an 18-carat gold watch, which she now wears. Posting the 100-year-old Garrard watch on Instagram, Jane was contacted by a watchmaker who restored the watch to working condition after many decades spent at the bottom of the river. The oldest item the mudlarker has found is a Neolithic Stone Age work flint blade, suspected of being used for fishing. Jane now writes for Beachcoping magazine and can often be found hunting for treasure in local rivers. And there is two pictures. The first one is of four of them with a tray of finds and the washing up bucket with its perspex bottom. And that's Florrie Evans and Cecilia Evans, a little girl. And then Jane Eastman and Sharon Fee. And there's also a picture of the 100-year-old Garrard gold watch.
First female head for Winchester College. Winchester College has appointed its first female head in the history of the college and will be letting girls join its sixth form. Winchester College announced that Miss Elizabeth Stone will take over from Dr. Tim Hans as head of Winchester College from September 2023. Miss Stone has served as principal of Queenswood School, Sydney, an independent girls' school for the past 8 years. Previously, the newly appointed head has worked as vice principal of Cheltenham Ladies' College from 2012 to 2014, and before that, as a maths teacher and undermaster at Winchester. Miss Stone said, "I am delighted to be rejoining Winchester College, which is already a special place for me and my family, and feel deeply honoured to be invited to lead a school with such a proud history and contemporary outlook." Miss Stone will be the first female head of the prestigious college, founded in 1382 by William of Wickham. Parents and guardians of Winchester College students received a letter on Tuesday, July the 19th, informing them of the new appointment. The letter, addressed from the Winchester College warden, said, "The governing body was unanimous in judging that Ms. Stone was the outstanding candidate in a remarkably strong field. We are fortunate that Ms. Stone and her husband Rob have decided to leave a happy and successful life in Sydney in order to come back to Winchester. I much look forward to welcoming him here next summer." Sir Richard Stagg, warden of Winchester College, said, "We are very fortunate to have appointed such an outstanding candidate. Throughout the competitive recruitment process, we were impressed by Elizabeth's breadth of experience and by her values and vision. They are aligned closely with our own. And as we continue to increase access to the school through an expansion of the bursary program and the admission of girls in the sixth form, Winchester College currently provides education and independent boarding for boys aged 13 to 18 and a co-education sixth form with day places for boys and girls." The new female head was educated at Ashcombe School before achieving undergraduate degrees from the University of New South Wales, where she studied maths, German and law. Miss Stone will succeed Dr. Hans in September 2023 after 7 years as the independent boarding school and sixth form's headmaster.
Thank you. That concludes the headlines. Now we continue with the death announcements, Christian comment, and then letters to the editor, Chronicle comment, First Person and Belgarum. Shall we start with the death announcements this week? Alan. Molly Allen, who died on the 6th of July, aged 98. Bradbeer, Ray Bradbeer, died on the 14th of July, aged 86. Cross, Stuart James Cross, died peacefully on the 17th of July, aged 84. Fairchild, Russell Fairchild, died on the 21st of July. Haler, Pamela Mary Haler, died peacefully on the 11th of July, aged 83. Morrison, Elizabeth Jane Morrison, formerly of the Rising Sun Public House in Winchester, passed away peacefully in Dumfries, aged 75. Packard, Ian Sidney Packard, died at home on the 22nd of June, aged 77. Purvis, Diana Mary Purvis died peacefully on the 6th of July. Robbins, Susan Robbins, née Holt Wilson, died peacefully on the 19th of July, aged 92. Shapley, Wanda Shapley, died peacefully in Bristol after a short illness, and was formerly a dance teacher in Eastleigh. Van Rienen, Daphne May Van Rienen, died peacefully at home on the 7th of July, aged 97. And Williams, Nigel Barry Williams, known as Barry, died at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 20th of July, aged 91. Andrew, could we have a Christian comment then, please?
And this week's Christian comment is entitled To Be a Pilgrim and was written by Rosemary A. Baker. A friend has just emailed me to say that he is on his way to spend his holiday doing a pilgrimage, and would I pray for him? He and a friend are going to walk St. Cuthbert's Way, a 62-mile long distance trail between the Scottish border town of Melrose and the holy island of Lindisfarne, off the coast of Northumberland. The walk is named after Cuthbert, a 7th century saint, a native of the borders, who spent his life in the service of the church. He has been struggling with his faith, and while making some progress, feels putting this time aside will be helpful. This might seem an odd thing to do, to use your holiday in this way, but in fact the word holiday is itself derived from holy day. Originally, holy days were special days when workers would be allowed time off to celebrate a saint's day or a particular religious occasion. Eventually, these days were merged to become the holidays we know of today. For example, Easter and Christmas holidays. Although for most people, they don't always have religious significance anymore. So, what is a pilgrimage? It's a devotional practice consisting of a prolonged journey, often undertaken on foot or on horseback, toward a specific destination of significance. It's a transitory experience, removing the participant from his or her home environment and identity. This means, or the means, or motivation in undertaking a pilgrimage might vary. But the act, however performed, blends the physical and the spiritual into one experience. The origins of pilgrimage are difficult to unravel, but deliberately visiting powerful sites is a practice that seems to predate antiquity. Pilgrimages have been a common feature of many world religions, including Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Shinto. Lourdes and Mecca are names of two well-known places of pilgrimage that many will be familiar with. A believer might undertake a pilgrimage in fulfillment of a vow, as an atonement for sins, as a gesture of thanks for positive events, or as a means of intercession, or for other reasons. The Pope is currently on a pilgrimage of penitence in Canada to ask for forgiveness for the abuse of native children in Catholic schools. In the Christian tradition, the practice revolves around visiting either sites significant in the Bible or those concerning the life of Christ, also the lives of saints, or paying reverence to holy relics. The commonest being Jerusalem, Rome, and Santiago de Compostela. These could be dangerous and lengthy journeys, so shorter, more local ones became popular. Although the 12th century was the golden age of pilgrimages, they have continued and remain popular today, and several television programs have appeared recently with celebrities of various faiths and none taking part. I am praying for my friend's faith journey. And as we said, that is from Rosemary A. Baker.
Thank you. And now we move on to letters to the editor. Nikki, I think you've got the first one.
And this is from, excuse me, Simon Lever, and it's headed Action Required. The risk of long dry grass catching fire is a serious risk in Badger Farm. Empty bottles and cans are thrown into the overgrown areas, creating an ideal starting point for fires. To avoid a catastrophe, proactive action is urgently required to cut overgrown areas. The City Council must act rather than considering the issue for weeks. Extremely high temperatures have not yet departed, and considering houses are alongside overgrown areas, the risk to residents and property is high. Nearby areas with overgrown grass is of serious concern. It only takes a spark. It may sound alarmist, but why take a risk? It is a reality. Rather than waiting for such a calamity, action must be taken to avoid potential injury and destroyed homes. A number of houses in other locations around the country have been wrecked because of such fires, which typically start in highly combustible locations, long, dry, overgrown grass. We live in a most pleasant area, and it would be awful to put people and property at risk. And that's from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
Misleading claims. I recently had the misfortune to be the recipient of Lib Dem's latest broadsheet, another chronicle of sanctimonious and disingenuous hypocrisy. For the party that embedded a Tory government of austerity and punishing poverty for 12 years, their claim to credibility is breathtakingly shallow in their criticism of Steve Brine. I'm obviously not one of his supporters, but then this latest list of his misdemeanours is a pathetic attempt to seem believable, uttered by appallingly memorable Quisling coalition. Does anyone know whether Silver Hill or Saxon Gate will ever be completed after 22 years? Numerous so-called public consultations and sensible, practical suggestions have failed to galvanise this administration. The whole enterprise is now being sold off to a single developer. So much for the consultative democracy. River Park? Another predictable shambles. Their latest failed headline-grabbing shallow analysis of Brine's record is a travesty of the real truth. Their failed record in central and local government speaks for itself. A vote for the Lib Con Dems is exactly that. Another vote for the Tories and their joint record of pain, punishment and total lack of consideration for the public need. And that was from Peter Rees, Monarch Way, Winchester.
And continuing the theme, although perhaps without the alliteration, we have this letter from Councillor Malcolm Wallace, who is the first Green Party member for Winchester City Council. And it's titled, Firm Grip on Climate Emergency. Last week, on the same day that the temperature in UK hit a record high, the High Court found the UK government's climate strategy unlawful, and it doesn't show how the UK's legally binding carbon budgets, our net zero commitment, will be met. This is a huge political embarrassment to the government. It therefore came as some surprise when I saw Steve Brine's column published in your newspaper 2 days later, Chronicle, July 21st, in which he stated that the Conservative Party leadership had, and I quote, a firm grip on the detail, unquote, and that the UK, quote, continue showing international leadership post-COP26. Addressing the climate emergency needs everyone to contribute. We don't need a few people tackling this perfectly. We need all of us doing it imperfectly together. To make this happen, we need our leaders to be honest about the situation, rather than provide yet more politically convenient soundbites. Is that too much to ask?
And this from John Airy, headed Serial Student. What a shame. Another tragic tale of yet another victim of today's uncaring society. How very sad that Beck Alford finds herself in a homeless shelter for a few days, which, although financed and supported in part by the very people she criticises, She no doubt still accepts this wicked society's contribution to her fees, and this from Chronicle in July 21. I have met many serial students in my life and on endless courses of truly amazing, worthwhile subjects that overconflate their CV, that never actually take up employment. Not that I would dare to insinuate a connection. But again, dare I question if this horrible government contributes some kind of financial benefit each week? How dare our uncaring society keep her waiting for a council house, which we all know will be far too small for her? One can also bet that this professional victim will also be critical of our unfeeling NHS with their unsympathetic treatment of her various mental ailments. I wonder what she'll be studying in her late 50s to fulfil her dream of becoming a human rights lawyer, because we don't have enough of them, do we? Now, finally, please forgive me if I dare to even mildly insinuate or even hint at, and not wanting in any way to insult your me attitude, that it's everyone else's fault. You are probably a brilliant human being, a truly wonderful person like myself, but could I very gently and kindly suggest, with the best intention, because I bet you haven't even thought of this truly radical suggestion, try finding an evening or weekend job. And that's from John Airy, Mortimer Close, Kingsworthy.
This one's entitled Inspiring Women. A very important event. The women's England football team are through to the semi-finals of the European Football Championship. I watched England's quarter-final match against Spain. It was such a great, exciting match. Spain were such a difficult team to play, but England fought and fought and finally won the match 2-1. The skill level was so great, and the two goals that England scored were so great, particularly the second goal. The second goal was like a Roy of the Rovers goal, or a Brazilian-type goal. It was shot from quite a long way away from the Spanish goal, and it curved majestically in the air and into the other end of the goal. The Spanish goalkeeper flew frantically into the air, but couldn't save it. Wow, what a goal! So now the England's women's football team are into the semi-finals and the dream continues. Events like this are so important socially for women's rights and for women's equality. What was really poignant was the moving about this televised match was that when the TV cameras turned to the crowd in the stadium, there were loads of little girls cheering ecstatically and with big smiles on their faces. There were also some little girls watching quietly, but still fully absorbed by the match. All these little girls in the crowd and all the little girls at home watching on TV would probably have been thinking, those are women playing football, and they're in a big football tournament, and the crowds are cheering and applauding them. I am a girl. I can also play football, and I may be able to play for the women's England football team in the future. These types of events are so great for boosting the confidence of girls and women's. Come on, you lionesses! And that's from Paul Hickey of Parchment Street, Winchester.
And I apologise in advance for bringing down the tone, I'm afraid, for that rather joyous letter. Bring us back down a little bit. This letter is from John Seeger Green of the Hospital of St. Cross, Winchester. And it's entitled, Sacrifice Ignored. My understanding is that the Dean and Chapter of Winchester Cathedral have refused to permit the holding of the annual Service of the Sea without payment for the use of the cathedral. Given that the Merchant Marine Memorial Book is prominently displayed in the cathedral, have they stopped turning the pages each day as well? And that Winchester Cathedral has been the home of the Merchant Marine Memorial Service for many years. I consider the decision to be both shaming and a direct insult to those brave men who willingly, courageously, and facing against tremendous odds gave their lives to keep us supplied during the darkest days of the Battle of the Atlantic, and of course to their families. I appreciate that times are hard, but to dishonour the sacrifice of others made when times were infinitely harder, brings disgrace upon the cathedral, Winchester, and the nation.
Thank you, Andrew. Now we move on from letters to the Chronicle editorial comment, please, Nikki.
Which is headed Public Transport in Crisis across County. The Hampshire Chronicle today reports on pages 1, 4 and 5 the problems regarding public transport and especially the buses. There are chronic driver shortages, slashed timetables, cuts to subsidies and poor customer service. Travellers are being left stranded at bus stops, not knowing when their bus will appear, if at all. This is, of course, disastrous for public confidence and a massive blow if traffic congestion and the climate crisis is going to be tackled. People should be encouraged out of their cars and onto buses, not the reverse. The elephant in the room is financial support for public transport. We get what we pay for. Superb public transport abroad is usually the result of sustained investment. In the UK, by contrast, our system is blighted by relatively low investment over decades. The sector is often near the top of the hit list for local authorities seeking to save money. Hampshire County Council has a huge black hole as a result of government cuts. Time to rethink things.
Thank you, Norma. I think you've got first person.
Yes, and George Hayter writes, "Is this the end for my lawn? To keep the garden green during the heatwave, I've been building up my muscles. The modest expansion of my previously puny biceps has resulted from lifting weights in the form of four watering cans, up to 30 times a day. I fill our 2-gallon watering cans from the outside tap. 2 gallons of water weighs about 20 pounds. That's 44 kilograms, which for me is a bit of a wrench to heave off the ground. With this weight dragging down my right shoulder, I stagger around the house to all points of the garden, watering vulnerable and wilting plants roasting in by the sun. Global warming has brought me to this. Roasted even worse than my poor plants has been my south-facing lawn, which these days is more accurately described as my south-facing desert. At the start of recent weeks of desert weather, I watered the tennis court-sized lawn every evening. Watering the entire lawn with a watering can would have required about 50 canfuls, which would have transformed me into mighty muscle man. But I didn't have time to fill the transport and discharge 50 watering cans each evening, so I used a hose, standing on the front step spraying water over the lawn for about 20 minutes. That was pretty boring 20 minutes, and it didn't look good to anyone walking past our house. These days we're supposed to be conserving precious water, not wasting it on lawn. And wasting is the right word, because despite this nightly dousing, our lawn looks just as brown as everybody else's. So I have abandoned the hose and my time-consuming efforts to keep the lawn green. Though I still have time to continue staggering around with the watering can for the sake of the long-suffering plants. I don't like to think of the hours I've wasted hosing the lawn, or the money I wasted. We're on a water meter. Trying to maintain a lovely lawn has cost a lot over the years, in buying and maintaining lawn mowers, buying feed for the grass to make it more green, and buying spot weeders to squirt on rosette weeds. I bought other expensive tools such as a scarifier and a spiker, which fell into disuse. In my hands they failed to produce a verdant swathe. And the time mowing, plodding up and down the grass while pushing heavy machine, has consumed too many hours of what should have been relaxing summer days. And after the mowing comes edging, snipping along the blades of grass around the perimeter and around the stepping stones, back-breaking. The lawn has never brought me lasting satisfaction. It rarely is neat for long, and in winter it looks scruffy, and in summer it's brown and half bare. Sometimes I wish I didn't have a lawn. I would have more leisure time and more money. I've thought about a cottage-style garden instead, with wildflowers and a path or paving of gravel. I fear that global warming is consigning the traditional British lawn to history. My son has suggested a remedy. Have a clover lawn, he said. So I looked them up. The seeds are not expensive, and clover is happier than grass in hot weather. Its roots and its succulent structure help it stay green and fresh-looking when the soil is turning to dry dust. And clover lawns have pretty flowers. They attract bees, good for pollination and wildlife. Mind you, bees on a lawn present a hazard for children, and clover is less hard-wearing than grass. You can choose seed types for different heights of clover lawn. As long as you don't mind your clover growing into a few inches height, it will require little or even no mowing. A clover lawn makes no demand on the water supply and requires no chemicals. If I'm adventurous enough to go clover, I'll be helping the planet.
Thank you. Now, I think we've got a couple of items from Belgarum, Andrew.
And this is Belgarum, an alternative look at the news. And the first article is, yes, the Union flag flies over the Guildhall. It's back. For the first in what seems like months, the Union flag is again flying over the Broadway. Since March, the flag that has most often fluttered outside the Guildhall has been the yellow and blue of Ukraine. This photo, and the article is accompanied by a photograph of the Guildhall with the Union flag fluttering away. This photo was taken on Friday, and the red, white and blue was again flying every day this week. Some people might argue that instead of the UK flag, the Guildhall should fly the Cross of St. George. After all, Scottish and Welsh public buildings more often fly the Saltaire or the Welsh Dragon. Belgarum raised the issue in the paper last week after a reader asked why the City Council is so reluctant to fly the Union flag on the Guildhall. Well, clearly, Belgarum had a success there in that the flag is flying this week. The second article is A Sight of the Med in the Heart of the City. The sun beats down remorselessly, casting the dilapidated building into deep shade. Masonry paint is peeling steadily. Barred windows have been smashed. A basket of flowers add a splash of colour to the Mediterranean scene. Except this is not Greece or southern Italy. It's Winchester and Cross Keys Passage. The broken windows are in the premises of the former RAOB club, in the narrow alleyway between the High Street and Tanner Street. Had proposals gone to plan, the building was due to be part of the Silver Hill Renaissance, Saxon Gate or Central Winchester regeneration. A new scheme is slowly lumbering back into life, as has been reported in the Chronicle. It seems a shame, though, that a short-term use cannot be found for the RAOB club in the meantime. And I certainly didn't know what RAOB stands for. And there's a little note at the bottom saying it stands for the Royal Antediluvian Order of Buffaloes. Keith is nodding that he knew, you see, showing off. Which, according to Wikipedia, is one of the largest fraternal movements in the United Kingdom.
Thank you, Andrew. Yes, I did know that. I don't know why. Right, lighting up time ends on Friday the 29th of July at 5:26 a.m. and begins at 8:57 p.m. And next Wednesday the 3rd of August, it ends at 5:33 a.m. and begins at 8:49 p.m. If you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone the contact number on the key fob attached to the memory stick. And can I just remind listeners of the existence of the Winchester Colebrook Club, which is specifically for people with sight impairment. The club meets monthly on the first Monday, except for May and January, and it's between 2 and 4pm. The venue is St Lawrence Parish Room, Colebrook Street, Winchester, And for more information, you can contact Samantha Frolic. Telephone number is 07714 004 803. That's 07714 004 803. And now we continue with items of general news. Nikki.
And here's one headed Country Sports. A village in the Meon Valley will once again host the Hampshire Country Sports Day. Hampshire Country Sports Day celebrates the countryside and the people and animals that live and work in it. The event will take place on the Berrily Estate in East Meon, near Petersfield, on September the 11th. A range of artisan shopping, demonstrations, have-a-go activities and competitions will be open to the Sports Day visitors. An arena programme will showcase a whole range of rural sports, including gun dog training, fishing, clay pigeon shooting and falconry displays. Bill Tirrett-Drake, chairman of the Hampshire Country Sports Day, said, "We try and give a good example of everything people can do in the field sports world, and some of it is competition as well. Last year we had about 3,500 people, and that tends to be our number most years. We seem to have a crowd of loyal supporters who pop along in September. People will have a very enjoyable day. It's a very special, quite intimate show, and we do have a proper arena with lots of demonstrations going on. We have lots of food stands, a proper bar, and there's just something for everyone for a whole day." The event was introduced 42 years ago by one of the masters of Berrily Estate to allow anyone the opportunity, no matter what their age, to have a go at different field sports. Olympic medal winner Richard Falls and his Owl's Lodge shooting school team will be returning to the estate to provide have-a-go clay pigeon shooting for beginners and competition for clay shooting enthusiasts. The Ravenfield Archers and Meon Valley Airguns will also be offering tuition and taster sessions in archery and shooting. Approximately 60 tradesands will be on-site selling jewellery, outdoor fashion and handmade goods, alongside food vendors from local and artisan pizza, hog roast, crepe, Cornish pasties, cider, beer, mead, to donuts and ice cream. That's quite a list. The family dog show means visitors can enter classes including prettiest bitch, handsomest dog, best child handler, waggiest tail, scruffiest dog, best puppy and best veteran, followed by the championship consisting of the winners of the first class, from the first class. The event will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday, September the 11th at the Berrily Estate in Petersfield.
This is a bit of a tongue twister. Litter pickers raising money for air ambulance. Litter pickers across Winchester have joined campaign to raise money for Hampshire and Isle of Wight air ambulance. Alison Cookler of CPRE Hampshire, who leads much of the district's litter-picking activities, joined forces with David and Janice Lipscomb of Kingsworthy, who for several years have been collecting aluminium and trading it in at local recycling centre and gifting the proceeds to the Air Ambulance charity. As well as having a collection bin in their home, Janice and David now oversee a total of 25 bins across the district, from Fair Oak to South Wanston. Combining the collections once a month, the metal is taken to an industrial recycling centre for weighing and payment. The word, spreading fast, is a growing number of people are in on the act, from dog walkers, litter picking groups and businesses like Edverdi, all picking up and collecting cans and other metal or to convert into cash for good cause. Since the inception of the scheme, more than £5,000 has been raised for Hampshire and Isle of Wight air ambulance, with the current run rate around £400 a month. David said, "We are so proud of what we're achieving together. People are getting involved for all sorts of reasons. One person hosts a collection bin because she once had to call out an air ambulance to rescue her son from a life-threatening accident. Another supporter from a family of tree surgeons. You never know when you might have the assistance of the air ambulance and their amazing skilled staff." Alison Cookler of CPRE Hampshire said, "The Lipscombs are an inspiration to us all. Anything aluminium can be collected. Think drinks cans, wine bottle tops, aluminium foil, pie cases, tea light holders, foil sweet wrappings. Copper and other metals can also be collected. We'd love more people to get involved, either by hosting a bin or by collecting metal at home or by picking up cans on a walk, as a growing number of litter pickers are now doing." Richard Corbett, COE of the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, said, "We are so grateful for Janice and David Lipscomb's amazing hard work and commitment with Winchester's litter pickers now supporting this initiative. We're thrilled that these wonderful people are not only saving lives in our community, but also cleaning the environment. To get involved, go to the Facebook page, Aluminium Can Recycling, or just Litter Partnership website." And there's another article that sort of explains why it's so important to collect for the Hampshire Air Ambulance. Air Medics calls so far. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance is on track to record its busiest year since before the pandemic. Data from the first 6 months of 2022 reveals that the Air Ambulance charity responded to 791 emergency call-outs, an increase on both 2020 and 2021. The charity is forecasting similar trajectory for the rest of the year, with signs of a near pre-pandemic levels returning. Of those 791 call-outs, crews responded to 279 cardiac-related incidents, making up 35% of the total missions, and 138 road traffic collisions, 17%. May was the busiest month of the year so far for the charity, with 158 missions logged, the most critical incidents in the single month since August 2020, 159. The charity's CEO, Richard Corbett, said, "We are not expecting 2022 to reach the levels of 2019 quite yet, but we must plan for these eventualities in the coming years. It is vital that those who can continue to support us through this challenging period. Thank you to everyone who has helped us be there for those who need us. During the first 6 months of 2022, the life-saving charity attended 791 incidents compared to 1,073 in 2019 and 770 in 2020 and 756 in 2021. The potential reasons behind the small increase are varied. However, the charity points to a perfect storm between life and regular activities returning to normal amid years of restrictions as one of the key factors. As the temperatures in the cockpit soared throughout the recent heatwave, the charity attended its 11,000th mission in its aircraft on Monday, July the 11th. And I happen to know that it costs something like £2,000 to £3,000 per incident to run the helicopter, and it's all done by charity.
Hospital petition is close to target. A petition to protect Winchester's accident and emergency department is nearing its target. The petition has so far achieved 7,324 names as it approaches its goal of 8,000. The movement follows the announcement in 2020 that a new Hampshire hospital may be built near Basingstoke, sparking the fears of closure of the A&E unit at the Royal County Hampshire Hospital. The online campaign, published by Mrs. Winchester, is titled "Stop the Removal of Winchester Emergency Department or Build the New Hospital Here." The petition reads, "There is major concern from the residents of Winchester that the emergency department will be removed, with the added worry if the air ambulances services lack of funding and the time it takes for an ambulance to arrive being so long, some residents reporting up to 8 hours. In addition, in contrast to Basingstoke, Winchester has many hundreds of thousands of tourists each year. There is 400,000 to the Christmas market alone, and a large number of students. This combined far exceeds Basingstoke's population, and therefore requires at a minimum that a 24/7 accident department should remain in Winchester and be invested in. The residents hereby petition to keep the 24/7 accident and emergency department in place at a bare minimum. To access the online petition, go to 38degrees, that's 38degrees.org.uk/petitions.
Crime is on the rise in Winchester. Crime has risen over the last year in Winchester, official police records reveal. Hampshire Constabulary recorded 8,139 offences in Winchester in the 12 months to March, according to the Office for National Statistics. That was an increase of 31% compared to the previous year, when there were 6,194. However, at 64.6 crimes per 1,000 people, that was far lower than the rate across England and Wales, which stood at 89.3. Of the crimes recorded in the area over the last 12 months, 370 were sexual offences, an increase of 41% from the year before. Meanwhile, violent crime has risen in the area from 2,335 to 2,918 over this period. One of the main factors behind this increase was the rise in stalking and harassment, which rose by 33%, from 731 incidents to 972. And theft offences rose by 43%, with 2,457 incidents recorded in the last 12 months to March. At 19.5 crimes per 1,000 people, that was lower than the rate across England and Wales, which stood at 25.1. The statistics will be skewed by lockdowns between spring 2020 and summer 2021.
Dragonfly is on display in and around Hampshire. Darter, skimmer, chaser and hawker. What may sound like a new quartet of Santa's gang of flying reindeer are in fact the names of some of the UK's resident dragonfly species. This special group of flying insects are part of the Odonata order, which is made up of dragonfly and damselfly species. To mark Dragonfly Week, an annual celebration of these incredible insects taking place this year between Saturday, July the 16th and Sunday, July the 24th, there is a closer look at these winged wonders. Amazingly, dragonflies were some of the first flying insects to evolve over 300 million years ago, soaring the skies with eagle-sized wingspans before even dinosaurs. With a pair of large eyes providing fantastic vision and a top speed of around 30 miles an hour, which makes a dragonfly one of the fastest flying insects in the UK, they are fearsome predators. There are 17 species of damselfly and 23 species of dragonfly resident in the UK, plus the occasional visiting species from continental Europe. Found in almost every habitat, including wetlands, moorland and woodland glades, these predatory insects bring a splash of colour to the landscape, just as wildfires and butterflies are winding down. To tell dragonflies and damselflies apart, there is a general rule of thumb that damselflies are slimmer and rest with their wings folded, while the stockier dragonfly keeps its wings spread outwards. Damselflies can be spotted on the wing as early as the start of May, while the last common darter of the year might still be flying on a warm October day. The highest species diversity is found during July and August, and like most insects, dragonflies are most active in warm, sunny weather. Five species to spot include emperor dragonfly, the southern hawker, the banded demoiselle, and the golden-ringed and the common darter. In our region, Pampa Forest Cot Nature Reserve is a brilliant place to find dragonflies near the woodland streams and ponds during the breeding season and hunting for prey along the woodland rides. Over 20 species have been recorded here, including the club-tailed dragonfly, which was a first for Hampshire, and the white-legged damselfly. It is also a great sight for seeing the beautiful demoiselle damselfly and the golden ring dragonfly, Swanwick Lakes and Testwood Lakes Nature Reserve near Southampton are also prime dragonfly hotspots.
Local artist on his new Winchester paintings. An artist has taken to the streets of Winchester for inspiration. The bustling street life of the city tempted artist Don Lavelle to capture the scene of Wintonians enjoying the summer weather on his trusty canvas. With his trademark easel and canvas, Don's become quite a feature on the streets of Winchester, and those with time to watch him work are bound to be enthralled by his talent, as well as the marvel of the beauty of Winchester through the eyes of an artist. The energy and vibrancy of the lively cafe scenes set against the backdrop of Winchester's historical architecture is truly inspiring, said Don. Mr. Lavelle has a catalogue of acrylic and watercolour paintings of Winchester and other picturesque parts of Hampshire, created en plein air, solely on the spot, and can often be seen in Winchester's most idyllic spots working on a new painting. Several city centre businesses have commissioned him to paint their premises. I assume that's not paint their premises, but create a canvas replica of their premises, including Green's Wine Bar in Drury Street. And this is accompanied by a photograph of Don with his canvas painting in the centre of town. And he is truly a character, and often seen out there. Magnificent character.
First swans and now warnings over cows. Walkers are being warned about a herd of cows along a country path in Winchester, writes Charlie Burton, actually. The cows have become the newest residents on the Itchen navigation. Signs warn footpath users to exercise caution and keep dogs on leads, amid the instruction of a herd of cows on the west bank of the Itchen navigation. The pasture zone runs on the west bank adjacent to Kingsgate Tennis Club until Garnier Road. This is separated from the rest of the Itchen Way footpath via wooden gates either side of the pasture zone, stopping the cows from escaping. The cow's introduction will naturally keep pasture to a reasonable length for walkers, as well as provide the herd with vast quantities of pasture for feeding. Earlier this year, the college came under strong criticism for removing two swans and destroyed their eggs after the male bird became aggressive to walkers and rowers. And it's a picture of said sign, but a very enormous brown cow, obviously munching on all its pasture, but with a rather baleful look, I have to say, wondering what all these people with their dogs on leads are doing, waiting to get them, I should think.
Town's last bank to close. The last bank in Bishop's Waltham is set to close in January next year, to the disappointment of residents. The Lloyds Bank in the square will close its doors on January the 24th, with customers and businesses having to find alternative branches. Many businesses still use cash and pay their earnings into the bank in person. Claire Peach, who runs a cleaning business, said, "I use the bank regularly for my business. It's a real shame it's closing. It's difficult because I deal a lot in cash because people I clean for prefer to pay that way. Nearby Sweet Shop, Sweet Corner, also uses the bank for paying in." Owner Sophie Pritchard said, "Because we are a sweet shop, about a third of our takings is cash, so I normally pay it in weekly to the Lloyds, and so I will have to go further afield. Going to Hedge End to pay in will take an hour or so, as there will be a queue. It's a shame for the elderly people." Lloyds have said people aren't using it, but whenever I go in there, people are queuing. Bishop's Waltham's resident Marlene Beale said, "I think they get too much at the top and they should keep these branches open. It's not fair on anybody, older people especially." The Lloyds Bank spokesperson said, "Our customers have more choice than ever in how to bank with us, and fewer customers have been visiting our Bishop's Waltham branch over recent years. The branch will be closing at the end of January, but a new ATM has been recommended for the town. We see 78% of customers are already using other branches in the local area, such as Hedge End branch and in Southampton. The nearby post office in High Street offers personal and business customers everyday banking services, access to cash, paying in of cheques and more. There are 11 free-to-use ATMs within our 4 miles of closing the branch. We are contacting customers to let them know about the alternative local banking services available."
St Bart's Open Day. A church in Winchester is hosting a day of festivities to raise funds for refurbishments and repairs. St Bartholomew's Church in Hyde is hosting a day of heritage, music and activities. At Hyde's annual open day on Saturday, August the 20th, from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, the church will reveal plans for phase 2 of its refurbishments. Phase 1 included installation of a kitchenette and wheelchair-accessible toilet, and that was done in 2021. Representatives from the organisation who donated have been invited to the open day at King Alfred's Place. Reverend Karen Cusaff, rector of St Bartholomew and St Lawrence with St Swithin upon Kingsgate, said, "It's a great opportunity for people to find out more about this church's great significance in the history of Winchester, the King City, and it's the only complete and active remnant of Hyde Abbey. It is a direct link to the story of King Alfred the Great." King Alfred the Great was reinterred in the Abbey Church in 1110. The church is home to King Alfred Weekend, an annual commemoration of this life and legacy, which is held in October. Reverend Cusaff continued, "People can see some of the finest examples of medieval carving in Europe, and they've carved the capitals from the abbey excavated from local gardens, and find out about the church's other work as an active parish church for Hyde and Abbots Barton, as well as its plans to become a thriving centre for community events such as concerts, plays, talks and other gatherings. And the event is in conjunction with the Hyde 900, the archaeological dig open day."
Artist brings positive messages to the capital. An artist from Winchester is bringing positivity to the capital by giving them a billion hugs. Lisa Sharp's latest art installation, named A Billion Hugs, is currently decorating Routemaster buses in London with positive and uplifting artwork. Her work aims to inspire people while they travel with supportive messages coupled with colourful imagery, adding more love and good energy into the world. The idea started 16 years ago when, feeling stressed and burned out at her London gallery job, Lisa saw a double-decker bus drive past advertising a horror movie. After seeing this, she said she felt a low, dark, negative energy. She said, "I thought how depressing. Wouldn't it be so much nicer to see something more uplifting, something more joyful, something like, I believe in you, to remind people to believe in themselves?" It was there and then that she decided she was going to make a difference to people's lives rather than spreading fear and sadness. She wanted to spread uplifting messages. Now, many years later, at a time when the world needs love, hope and optimism more than ever before, Lisa is taking on those very horror movies and with her uplifting public art project. She said, "With so many people struggling with their mental health right now, this is exactly what is needed to make people feel more uplifted and connected. The thing is, we never know what someone else is going through, and it's my intention that A Billion Hugs will uplift people as the artworks are seen moving around the streets of London, reaching out and giving someone a visual hug when they need it most. A Billion Hugs is currently on 25 buses within the capital, on the 9, Hammersmith to Waterloo, and 211 Hammersmith to Aldwych bus routes until August the 28th, 2022. The funding for the project came partially from Lisa herself, as well as a swathe of donations where patrons can pay to have names of loved ones written in the background of the art. Lisa said it's the total opposite of what bus advertisements usually do, trigger a sense of lack and fear so people feel they need to buy something in order to feel better. This is 100% about unconditional love, unconditional giving. And it's a lovely picture of one of these Routemaster buses with her artwork on it, going past Big Ben, and one of her smiling below, as she should be, really. It's a good idea.
Mayor hears about climate hope from young people. Young people from Winchester shared their concerns about climate change at a meeting with the mayor. A delegation from the Winchester District Young People's Climate Assembly told the mayor of Winchester, Councillor Derek Green, that the climate crisis is the topmost concern for young people. Stuart Evans, co-convener of the Climate Assembly, was accompanied by Charlotte Baker, president of Winchester Student Union, and Laura Baker, a local climate activist. They relayed the messages from the 25 young people who took part in the meeting on July the 20th. They urged Councillor Green to push the council to take action on low-carbon housing, cutting emissions from traffic and transport, and promoting local food production. They shared their positive experience of the Young People's Climate Assembly, which provided the opportunity to engage in debate with local experts and politicians. Stuart Evans, founder of the Environmental Alliance Project, said, "Climate Assembly is a powerful way to inform and motivate people of all ages to engage with the climate crisis and understand the changes that we all need to make. That's why I'm working with Winchester Together for Our Planet on the 2022 Climate Assembly to run alongside COP27. Francesca Singers-Ince, who is coordinating the 2022 Assembly, said, "Following the recent heatwave, it is clearer than ever that the process of on climate action needs to be made quickly. I'm excited to build on the success of last year's Young People's Climate Assembly by inviting people from all communities within the district to get involved and help decide local priorities for climate action. More details will be given ahead of Winchester Green Week, which will take place from September the 24th until October the 2nd. Councillor Kelsey Lerney, who has recently taken up the climate emergency portfolio at the Winchester City Council, said, "It is great that we are building on the experience of young people last year and running a second climate assembly this autumn for people of all ages from across Winchester District." Councillor Green said, "I'm pleased to provide a continuing support from the mayoralty for the Winchester Climate Assembly. I'm particularly keen to see that this assembly broadens its reach to include communities who would be most impacted by the cost of living crisis and the climate crisis. To find out more about this year's climate assembly or to get involved, email win4tclimate@gmail.com. And there's a picture of the Mayor of Winchester, Derek Green, with YPCA delegates and at the Abbey House on the Broadway.
And this article is entitled Entries for Poetry Prize. A prize of £1,000 is up for grabs in a poetry competition. The Winchester Poetry Prize is open for entries for the 2022 competition. Prizes include £1,000 for the winner, £500 for second place, and £250 for third. A prize from the Winchester stationery store, Warren and Son, will also be gifted for the best poem written by a Hampshire-based poet. All winning and commended poems will be featured in a competition anthology. Poet Joe Bell will be judging the competition. Previously, Joe was the inaugural Canal Laureate for the Canal. And the Canal and River Trust and the Poetry Society from 2013 to 2015. The Sheffield-born poet was also director of National Poetry Day for 6 years. The next full festival will take place in October 2023. This year, a Poetry Day will take place to announce the winners of the 7th Winchester Poetry Prize, as well as workshops, walks, and readings at the ARC, which was previously the Discovery Centre. The winner of the Hampshire Cultural Trust and Winchester Poetry Festival Hampshire Young Poet competition will also be announced. The closing date is July the 31st at 11:59 p.m., just before midnight, before the winners will be announced on Saturday, October the 8th, 2022. Entry fees for the Poetry Prize cost £5 and £4 for any subsequent poems. For more, go to winchesterpoetryfestival.org/prize. Entries should be submitted via email to entries@winchesterpoetryfestival.org. And the Poetry Prize is sponsored by the legal service Warren and Son.
Mum strapped to plane for charity. A veterinary nurse in Winchester braved the heights to walk on the wings of a 1942 biplane to raise money for charity. Joe Clayton Hart from Anderson Moore's Veterinary Service in Hursley took part in a wing walk on Saturday, July the 2nd, flying up to 100 feet high at speeds of 110 miles an hour from Compton Abbas Airfield near Salisbury. Wing walkers are strapped to the top of the World War II Boeing Stearman using a 5-point harness that leaves their arms and legs free to move. Daredevil Joe has previously bungee jumped and skydived, but a wing walk had always been on a bucket list. She was airborne for 10 minutes on top of the plane that was initially used for pilot training during the Second World War. Joe said, "It was indescribable. It was amazing. I loved every second of it, and I definitely recommend it to anybody. Before we did it, they asked, 'What do you want to get from this experience? Do you want a nice, sedate, calm ride, or do you want the full-on adrenaline?' I think most of us said the latter, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. At one point, we were moving from side to side, and it literally felt like I was flying. It's just you up there. It was an amazing experience." So far, Joe has raised £920 for Wave 105's Cash for Kids appeal, thanks to the support of Anderson Moore's Veterinary Service, who got behind their employee through sponsorship. Wave 105's Cash for Kids is a children's charity that offers support for children and young people in the South who are suffering financially. Joe felt passionately about raising money for a local cause that she could sympathise with. She said, "It's been a tough time for a lot of people, and even more so now with energy and fuel prices. Unfortunately, I feel now the poor are only going to get poorer and the rich are going to get richer. Having kids myself and knowing how hard it is, I'm a single parent too, so knowing how hard it is to provide day to day for them, school shoes and uniforms and all that kind of stuff. I struggle, and I've got a job and support. I can't imagine what other people must go through if they haven't got that." And there's a photograph of her sitting strapped in on the top of the top wing, obviously, and that plane, wonderful old-fashioned biplane with the pilot in the back half of the sort of pilot section, I suppose it is. Anyway, brilliant.
Free opera performance for school children. School children from across Hampshire were invited to watch an opera by Hampshire Music Service. They enjoyed performances of Donizetti's opera Lesia d'Amour on Friday, July the 1st this year. MP Damien Hines visited Longhope in Newton Valence to watch the performance with the school children and to find out more about this exciting new hub for performing arts in Hampshire. Artistic Director Matthew O'Keefe said, "Our vision is to make new, exciting productions that are accessible to all, and our children's performances have become the highlight of our time at Longhope. A lot of the children have never seen an opera before, and it's such a pleasure to see their faces light up when they realise how entertaining and funny it can be. Lesia d'Amour is a very funny opera with exciting and beautiful music. It's all set in a small town square and follows a simple love story, which makes much more interesting when cheap wine is mistaken for powerful love potion. The performance by Scherzo Ensemble is collective of 60 young performers at the dawn of their careers, giving them invaluable professional development opportunities. There were two performances available to watch where all were welcome.
An action group has said it will not roll over. Winchester residents have questioned the bonkers logic behind the City Council's decision to dispose of a section of recreational ground sold to the city more than 120 years ago. Earlier this year, the Council said that it would sell part of the North Walls Recreation Ground to the University of Southampton. Action group The Friends of River Park was set up to oppose the decision, and it held a public meeting on July the 25th at Winchester Rugby Club, with more than 60 people attending. The group explained its decisions for launching a judicial review against the council's decision. The Friends argue that by agreeing to dispose of this public recreational land, the council has committed itself to the grant of a 150-year lease, which it is powerless to stop. Criminal barrister and Friends member Rose Burns said, "The council took a decision on March the 9th to dispose of the area of land known as the River Park Leisure Centre site. We are disputing that decision. We are claiming in the High Court that this is an unlawful decision. It is public land and was designed to be for public recreational use, and it should stay that way. Our principal purpose is that this is a public piece of land and it should not depart from public use for public recreation." Ms. Burns said the land was sold to the city by William Barrow Simmons in 1902. However, 120 years later, the use of the land has been brought into question by the council's decision to sell. Ms. Burns told the meeting about the grounds they will use in a judicial review. They are, first, the breach of statutory trust in which it holds the land for the public. Second, failure to advertise the whole site, and liability under the covenant. The legal proceedings are set to cost in excess of £35,000. Former City Councillor Malcolm Prince said, "The council members, and indeed most of the cabinet, were misled to believe that the land where River Park is could be used for either education or recreation, but not housing. At one stage it was said that St. Bede School could be moved onto the land of the Leisure Centre, freeing up the land where St. Bede is for housing. I was not actively involved in this side of the project." Previous academic at the University of Southampton, Michel Lowe, said, "You report on the bonkers logic of the City Council, which parallels the bonkers logic of the University. It is like something from Lewis Carroll." Member of Friends of River Park, Martin Wilson, said, "To put this in perspective, this is now the 20th legal challenge in 7 years against the Council. We don't want to go to the High Court, but it is now the only option we will have available to us. We're not going to just roll over." And this is accompanied by a photograph of the meeting with the Friends of the River Park meeting at Winchester Rugby Club. And it's certainly a very contentious issue.
Sisters walk South Downs Way to celebrate its anniversary. A woman has celebrated the 50-year anniversary of the South Downs Way by walking the 100 miles to Seven Sisters with her sister. Charlie Helliwell, 53, walked from Winchester to the Seven Sisters in Sussex, accompanied by her sister, Miranda Bassett. Charlie said that the women were inspired to walk the South Downs Way due to its iconic nature. She continued, "It's just one of those things you have to do." The pair set off from Winchester City Mill on May the 20th and arrived at the cliffs 8 days later. The sisters walked for an average of 15 miles a day, staying in bed and breakfast along the way. Charlie, who has worked for the South Downs National Park Authority for 6 years, said that her favourite part of the trip was the final day when she and Miranda reached Seven Sisters. She said, "Coming along the Seven Sisters' sheer chalk cliffs, it's very undulating, quite up and down. It was quite a long way that last day, but it was worth it. We saw peregrines flying, and there were a couple of Spitfires that went over. It was just seemed perfect. And as the picture of them standing on a South Downs Way with the signs in each direction and the actual South Downs Way National Trail sort of monument.
Hospital Charities fundraising campaign. A campaign has been launched to raise money to redesign the space at the hospital in Winchester so patients and their families can be more comfortable. Hampshire Hospitals Charity launched the Magic Lion appeal to raise money to improve child health services within the Hampshire Hospital NHS Foundation Trust. One of the goals is to redesign the space at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester. The charity is now asking for help with the help of the local community. The charity hopes to appeal will help the trust keep up with the increasing demand, as well as to buy new equipment, ward upgrades and decorations. Alex Whitfield, Chief Executive at Hampshire Hospital, said, "We aim to provide children and young people with the best possible care. Our staff do a brilliant job, and with the help of the local community, we can do so much more. Being in hospital can be a disorientating experience for some of our younger patients, so we want to make sure that they are in an environment that suits their needs, whether they are being seen for the first time or are coming for a routine appointment. In raising these funds, we'll be able to make a real difference to so many children's experience of hospital for years to come." Kath Patrick, lead child health nurse at Hampshire Hospital, said, "We want to ensure that each patient seen with us feels as comfortable, safe and at ease as they can be, and this appeal provides with the amazing opportunity to do just that. Last year we saw nearly 80,000 outpatient attendances, so we also need to ensure our spaces are fit for the demand we are seeing in our services. The appeal will also fund improvements for children's health spaces in Basingstoke, Alton, Andover and Alton." And there is a picture of a young child with her dad being seen by the HHFT nurse.
The Winchester Cathy is created or has created a Tour de France platter. Tour de France fever has hit Winchester as cyclists from all over Hampshire slip into their Lycra to visit a cycling cafe. I was going to comment at that point, but I will refrain from doing so. Back to the story. Cyclists have been flocking to the South Downs Social in King's Walk, where owner Neil Wyatt is showing the Tour de France on the big screen. And he introduced a new platter to mark the occasion. The cafe opened in December 2021 and has since undergone renovations. There are cycling caps and jerseys hung from the ceilings, while Neil's own artwork is displayed on the walls. Neil said, "We wanted to create a really interesting space with a relaxing atmosphere where anyone could come in and enjoy. Growing up, I used to watch football in the pub with my mates. It would be a Sunday afternoon, and we'd be having a pint with our mates. I wanted to create something similar, but for cycling. I wanted to offer a place where people could come in and watch cycling in more of a social way, rather than in their living room." Since opening 8 months ago, the cafe has hosted events with guest speakers such as local chef and cyclist Alan Murchison and MV Fit owner Phil Gough. He said, "The best days have been when people have come in to watch the tour and attend talks, and then you realise they're all chatting about the racing. It's what we wanted, a space for like-minded people to have a chat, as well as others to come and see how great the coffee and atmosphere is." During the Tour de France, Neil has created a platter, keeping up with the French theme. It's serving a board of grapes, pâté, cheese, olives, pickles, and saucisson. I hope that's correct. Neil said, "With the platter, I had a vision that our menu will change with the rhythm of the cycling season. We have done a French platter this season, starting with a meat and vegetarian option. August will also be a Spanish-themed platter. We wanted to create something that was great value, tasty, and perhaps a little different to something you get in Winchester. And that's the reason for the platter. Since the removal of a wall outside, which used to attract antisocial behaviour, businesses within King's Walk have collaborated to make King's Walk more appealing for shoppers. And this is accompanied by a photograph of Neil Wyatt standing outside the Bike Cafe, and suddenly it all looks very jolly.
Mayor opens new later living apartments. A plaque was unveiled by the mayor at a new retirement development in Winchester. Life Story hosted a launch at its Sarum Road development, Pegasus Winchester Holtz, to celebrate its completion. Winchester Holtz is a collection of 33 two- and three-bedroom later living apartments for private purchase and to rent. The ceremony was attended by Ian Harrison, Managing Director for Life Stories South and South West Region, and the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Derek Green, alongside current owners, prospective buyers and local businesses. Councillor Green unveiled a plaque to officially launch the development, followed by the cutting of a cake. He said, "I'm aware of the positive role that specialist later living developments can play for not just the community, but for local housing markets too. By giving potential downsizers much more choice, we can start to free up existing homes." And it's a picture of 20-odd people and the mayor in front of the development.
Organic health food shop relocates. A shop that sells organic, ethically sourced foods, supplements and body care products have expanded and moved to a new location. The Cupboard of Health, formerly in Southgate Street, celebrates its move to 11 Parchment Street on Wednesday, July the 13th. The Cupboard of Health team laid on a fine spread for customers and members of the public, including delicious cordials perfect for a warm evening, vegan chocolates and much more. More than £100 was raised from the raffle in aid of Yes to Life, a cancer care charity. A spokesman said, "It was great to see so many familiar faces from across Winchester and a fine opportunity to get properly acquainted. This is a warm and welcoming evening enjoyed by all." And there's a lovely picture of the inside of the shop with 14 of their members, and there's all sorts of lovely products displayed, and it looks as though they had rather a nice sort of finger buffet as well.
More delay on quarry plans. A decision on plans for a new quarry in the Meon Valley has been delayed even further. For more than 2 years, plans have been in the works from TJ Waste for a nearly 80,000 square metre quarry at Five Oaks Farm in Shedfield. The quarry, if approved, would see the existing soft sand dug up and the site filled with 435,000 tonnes of clean inert waste and materials, such as concrete, bricks and ceramics. On three occasions, Hampshire County Council has issued TJ Waste with a Regulation 25 order, meaning there is information missing from the application. A further public consultation has also been held, with more than 600 residents writing to oppose the application. It was thought that the plans could go before the regulatory committee at the end of this month, but it is nowhere to be seen on the meeting's agenda. With the County Council now going into its summer break, an earliest a decision could be reached on the application is September the 7th. Resident Linda Gearing said, "I would say the company is determined to go ahead with this project, despite obvious objections with traffic, noise, pollution, and the ecology. I am not convinced that any amount of legal manoeuvring is going to make up for the difference that we, as the inhabitants of the area, have to put up with." Wendy Greenish, chairwoman of the Wickham Society, said, "Wickham is braced for further uncertainty with the event of the Wellbourne development of 6,000 houses 2 miles south of the village. It has been agreed that all lorries accessing the site will have to travel via the M27 to reach it, in recognition that Wickham is a conservation area and not designed to cope with more lorries travelling through it. However, it is inevitable that a proportion of vehicles will fail to adhere to this restriction, given the limited resources available to enforce it. TJ Waste has previously stated that the quarry at Five Oaks Farm will fill a shortfall in the local need for soft sand in construction. And this is accompanied by a photograph of some of the protesters at the Five Oaks Farm.
And two short ones. First one, Cathedral Alert. Winchester Cathedral was evacuated on Tuesday after a fire alert. Scores of visitors and staff left the building whilst three fire crews checked out the alarm at 3:30 p.m. The cathedral reopened at around 3:50 p.m. after staff announced the building was safe. A fire service spokesperson said it was a false alarm caused by smoke from the overheating of the organ motor. A cathedral spokesman said the cathedral was closed to visitors for approximately 20 minutes, whilst the fire service investigated the cause of the activation, after which it was safely reopened. We are incredibly grateful to Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service for their swift response and support. And then there's another about hygiene ratings. It's quite nice to know these things. New food hygiene ratings have been awarded to two Hampshire restaurants, the Food Standards Agency website shows, and it's good news for them both. 21 Sushi at 21 Bridge Street, Winchester, was handed a 5 out of 5 rating after assessment on July the 14th. Party at the Mill, the roasting party at Station Mill, Station Road, Alsford, was also given a score of 5 on February the 2nd. And I saw it the other day and it looks really fun.
Thank you. On that positive note, that concludes the extracts for this week. So thank you to our editors for selecting the extracts this week and to the copying and memory stick preparation teams. And of course, thanks to our readers, Nikki Baring.
Goodbye.
Norma York.
Goodbye.
And Andrew Parkinson.
Goodbye.
And from me, Keith Vincent, goodbye. And do have an enjoyable week. And when you finish with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. Thank you.